Good morning to all of you. Thank you for being here this morning. I think just about every Sunday morning, we're able to say that we have more and more faces that are familiar, but faces that we have not seen in this room for a good long time. It is good to see all of you, and good to see continued progress in the recovery of our church family. We pray for that to continue. We pray for the health of all. We're glad that even as we read this morning, we know where ultimate refuge is. He is worthy of our worship, worthy of our attention, and our reverence this morning. We're glad that you're here. If you're joining us on the live stream, I invite you to open a Bible wherever you are, in this room, on the live stream. If you'll open a Bible with me back to the Gospel of John, chapter 14, where we will be reading in just a few moments. Hopefully, you got a bulletin on the way in. On the inside of that is a simple interactive outline if you'd like to follow along with us. Forrest Finn was not your typical 80-year-old. At the age of 80, this man who was a millionaire art dealer decided that it would be fun to bury a chest full of treasure. And not just a chest full of personal treasures or just little rinky-dink things here and there. No, Forrest buried $2 million worth of treasure. At the age of 80, and coinciding with that, he self-published a book, The Thrill of the Chase. And he revealed within that book that the treasure was free to the first person to find it. It was buried somewhere between Santa Fe, New Mexico, and the border with Canada in the Rocky Mountains. A mere 1,300 mile stretch all through the Rocky Mountains. If you got a copy of that book, you would find front and center there a map of the territory and your first clue, a poem. And Forrest said everything that you would need in order to find that treasure was right there on that map and right there in that poem. And the search for Forrest's treasure became a sensation, luring tens of thousands of people over the course of a decade. Four people are reported to have died looking for this treasure, trying to decipher the clues and embarking on what they hoped would be not just a life-altering, but a life-changing hike all through the wilderness. For nearly 10 years after those first clues appeared, no one could find the spot. Periodically, Forrest was interviewed. He was interviewed in 2016 on the Today Show, and he assured people if no one found it, he was not going to answer any questions. The secrets, his secrets, would go with him to the grave. But just last month, Forrest, now 90 years old, announced on a simple, unassuming blog post that his treasure had been found. A photo confirmed it. He didn't know who it was. He simply wrote, "It was under a canopy of stars in the lush, forested vegetation of the Rocky Mountains. It hadn't moved from the spot where I hid it 10 years ago. I don't know the person who found it, but the poem in my book led him to the precise spot." Now, that treasure is found. Forrest only buried one chest, at least that we know of. But could I encourage you to open a different book with me this morning? A better book. In search of a better treasure. Now, maybe that sounds a little strange to you, because $2 million worth of treasure, that's a lot of treasure. But I assure you, even in light of what we have sung together this morning, this treasure that we are hunting for is better. And I want to try and show you why. It's treasure that has been hidden in plain sight for nearly 2,000 years. And there's not just one batch of it, one chest available. This is available to all, everybody in this room, everyone in this community, everyone in this country, everyone in this world, as long as this world stands. There is plenty for all. And it's been made available by someone who is infinitely, and I mean that this morning, infinitely worthy of your trust. This past Monday, we read in our daily Bible reading from John chapter 14. And on Tuesday, John 15. And on Thursday, John 16. Friday, John 17. And that's exactly where I would like to be with you in the Bible. If you can find John chapter 14, we're just going to be within a couple of pages of that this entire time. But I would really encourage you to notice with me verse 27 to kick off. These are words of Jesus on the night that he was betrayed, handed over to Jewish authorities, ferried from mock trial to mock trial, eventually handed over to the Romans, where the next day he was crucified, buried, and left there in the grave for 3 days. But before all of that, in John 14, verse 27, he said to his closest followers, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let them be afraid." Of all the statements in the Bible this morning, would you agree with me that every single one of us could use a healthy dose of that? As 1 week has come to a close and another week opens, who among us could not use more peace? Peace of mind, peace of soul, peace in perspective, perhaps peace in physical relationships, peace with knowing that whatever happens this week in this world, in my life, I know who I am and I know why I am and I know where I'm going. And maybe it is true, as we've together sung this morning, it's not going to be very long before our Savior returns again. But I'm at peace with that. I'm at peace with whatever comes next. Can you say that this morning? And if you're not sure that you can, could I encourage you to open this book and look at this map, look at the promise. Let's see if we can't reach that before we're done this morning. I think it's important to recognize from the very beginning that Jesus points out to us, this is a peace that is distinct, number one, from the offerings of this world. We're going to come back to John 14. You might put a little marker there. Go back with me to the Gospel of John. We'll stay right there. This time, chapter 6. Can you find that? A few pages before John chapter 14. The peace that Jesus offers It's distinct from this world. You can't buy it. You can't get a piece of paper from some elite university bestowing it upon you. It's not tied to this world, to our sense of touch and physical sight and hearing and feeling with our bodies. Listen, that's one of the things that makes it an even better peace. Regardless of where you grew up, regardless of the color of your skin, regardless of the level of your education, this is available to everybody. But let's recognize just how distinct it is from this world. Look at the end of John chapter 6, where we notice that this peace is not tied to widespread popularity. In John chapter 6, if we had the time, we could read Jesus miraculously feeding the 5,000. And the next day, people looking for, hey, we liked that free food. Maybe today you could give us some more. And Jesus launches into talking about he is the bread of life. Listen, there's something more important than more physical food. And Jesus is drawing his audience into that realization. But by the time we get to John chapter 6 and verse 66, we hear that after this, many even of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. But you read the Gospel of John, and it does not shatter Jesus' peace. Remember, it is his peace that he has left us. But he shows us this isn't tied to widespread popularity. You go with me to John chapter 8. Again, toward the end of that chapter, John chapter 8. And you look in verse 59 where we see even honed in more from widespread popularity. This peace is not tied to universal acceptance. John chapter 8 and verse 59. There were those who picked up stones to throw at Jesus as he claimed, before Abraham was, I am. And yet you keep reading in John's gospel, and the fact that people were willing to kill him, it didn't shatter his peace. Or you look toward the end of John chapter 11, where we find that this peace is distinct from the world in the sense that it is not the absence of conflict. John chapter 11 and verse 53, as Jesus has raised his friend Lazarus from the dead, from that day on, there were those who made plans to put Jesus to death. This peace is not tied, listen, to perfect circumstances. This idea that maybe we sometimes get, if I can just get all the stars lined up, all of the tangles undone, and I can just get life the way that I wish it was, then finally I would be at peace. Very next verse in John chapter 11, verse 54. These are not perfect circumstances. Jesus no longer walked openly among the Jews, but went from there to the region near the wilderness to a town called Ephraim. And that's where, for a while, he stayed with the disciples. Go to the next chapter. This peace is not dependent upon freedom from troubles. John chapter 12 and verse 27, hear Jesus say, now is my soul troubled. How thankful we ought to be to God that he did not simply show us the highlight reel of Jesus' life, the highest of the high moments, the incredible miracles, the swelling crowds at the beginning of his ministry, his transfiguration on a very high mountain. This is not an empty promise. That, well, if you follow me, my life was spectacular without any darkness, any shadows, any troubles, any trials whatsoever. And if you'll just do what I tell you to do, life for you will be nothing but puppies and butterflies and rainbows for the rest of your life. No, how thankful we ought to be that we know 2,000 years ago, Jesus, the Son of God himself, said, "My soul is troubled." And yet, if you've been reading the Gospel of John with us, you know that a troubled soul did not mean a vacuum of peace. Next chapter, John chapter 13, this peace is not always being treated right, always being treated fair. You know, if people would just start treating me the way that I deserve to be treated, finally I would be at peace. No, hear Jesus in John 13 and verse 21. In that last meal with his closest followers, saying, as he is troubled in his spirit, "Truly I say to you, one of you will betray me." And yet this very night, he is at peace. Not being treated right, and yet at peace. Listen to him in John chapter 14. Go back with me where you marked your Bibles. Look at verse 28. This peace is not as long as everything stays the same. Maybe some of those things that we mentioned before are a little foreign to you. Well, that's great. You live long enough and they won't be foreign. Maybe in your mind on this first day of the week, it's life is really good. And if it will just stay the way that it is right now, everything will be great. I'll finally and forever be at peace. No, Jesus, in John chapter 14 and verse 28, has said, "I'm going away. I've been with you for 3 years. But I'm leaving, and where I'm going, you cannot come. And yet, it is peace. Perfect peace in the heart and the mind of Jesus. Perfect peace even as he knows this very night he is not going to get his way. You know, this is the night. Within a matter of minutes, he leaves this upper room. He goes into the garden and he pours his heart out to the Father. Father, if it is possible, would you allow this cup to pass from me? And yet this peace that we're talking about, I want you to notice, it's not tied to always getting my way. It's not Jesus's peace on the line as he prays to his Father. It is not even cheating death. Death itself, listen, death has been death. Death is death whether you live in 2020 or in 30 AD. But you see, this peace, it's distinct from the world. All right, we've got that in our minds. Open your Bible if you've turned away back to John chapter 14. So where is this peace to be found? And we won't make it any more complicated than Jesus did. This peace is tied to following his lead. Read with me, beginning in John chapter 14 and verse 21. "Whoever has my commandments and keeps them. He it is who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, who was about to betray him, said to Jesus, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Because you see, the peace that Jesus offers is distinct from this world. Jesus answers in verse 23, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Do you see that that peace, distinct from this world, greater than your circumstances, higher than the trials and troubles and hardships of this world, it can be found. It is directly tied by the Son of God to following his lead. Can we get even a little more concrete, practical than that? Go with me to John chapter 16, a page or two over, and you notice what Jesus says in verse 8. He's just talked about, promised the coming of this Helper, the Holy Spirit. He says of that Spirit in verse 8 of John 16, when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. So again, let's just try and boil this down to the most basic of terms. What's it going to, if the peace of Jesus is tied to following his lead, what will it mean, practically speaking, on a Monday morning to follow his lead? God gets to define what's out of bounds. And as he defines it, I hear it, I process it, I keep it. If God says that that's a sinful way of treating someone else, I'm going to stay away from that. That's sin. If God says that's a sinful relationship to get into, I'm going to stay away from that. If God says that this is a sinful way of giving into your own self-centered lust, following a forbidden pathway that promises instant gratification, but listen, can cost you your soul, I'm going to follow Jesus' lead. And I'm going to stay away. But more than staying away, I'm going to allow him to define what's right. Because walking with Jesus is not simply about coming and hearing about all of the things that are out of bounds. It's about learning to love God with all of my heart, all of my soul, all of my mind, all of my strength, to truly love my neighbor as myself, to recognize that the entire law God has provided hangs on those two great commandments. And so I'm going to leave this building. I'm going to go out into the world understanding that there are boundaries and there are prescriptions for life the way that it was meant to be. And I'm going to live that life in view of my ultimate accountability to my Creator. Otherworldly life-changing, eternity-shaping peace is available and tied to following Jesus' lead. Let's go back to our key text in John chapter 14 and notice in verse 30 that this peace is in the absence of a claim. John 14 and verse 30, I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no claim on me. What a powerful word picture that we can wrap our minds around. You pack everything that you're going to take on a week's worth of vacation. Hopefully, sometime, again, you go to the airport and you check that bag and you fly to your destination trusting that your bag is right there in the belly of that plane. And the first place that you go upon arriving at that new airport is baggage claim. And you stand in the midst of all of those people and you're looking for one specific bag. If you're me and traveling with four females, there's more than one bag, just a few, but you get the idea. You're looking for those bags that belong to you, and you reach down when you see it, and you claim it. That one belongs to me. We understand on our taxes what it means to claim those children as dependents, right? But you hear Jesus. He has just said in verse 27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Okay, it's tied to following his lead. But let's not overlook what he said in verse 30. That peace is in the absence of the ruler of this world having a claim on you. Put it a different way, if you belong to the ruler of this world, you're going to search and search and search and search, and you won't find this peace. Let me show you that in John chapter 8. Go with me a few pages before to John chapter 8 and verse 34 beginning, where Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. Someone has a claim on the one who practices sin, and it is not your heavenly Father. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are offspring of Abraham, he says to some Jews in that context. Yet you seek to kill me because my word finds no place in you. Notice, they're not willing to follow his lead. As a result, they are not finding the peace that he's making available, and he's trying to show them why. Where's the kink in the hose here? Where's the obstacle? I speak of what I have seen with my Father, and you do what you have heard from your Father. Some other father is claiming you. You look down at verse 42. If God were your father, you would love me, for I came from God and I am here. I came not of my own accord, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot bear to hear my word. You are of your father. Let's make it explicit. You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. If the devil is filling out a tax form, he can claim you as his dependent. But it's bigger than that, certainly. He can claim your soul as belonging to him. You're in the dark with him. He knows that hell was prepared for him and his angels, and his intense purpose is to drag as many people created in the image of God to hell with him. And there is no peace in hell. What will make hell hell is the absence of God and the absence of peace. And the one for whom it was created was a murderer from the beginning. He does not stand in the truth. There is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character. He's a liar and the father of lies. Why has Jesus come? To tell us the truth, to show us the map, to reveal the treasure. And some weren't interested. Some, in fact, were doing their best to convict him of sin, to disparage anyone who would believe in him. All the while, Jesus just keeps saying things like, whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is because you are not of God. What's Jesus trying to do? You stay there for a moment in John 8. Look over at verse 31, where Jesus shows us how that claim of the devil can be broken in our lives. John chapter 8 and verse 31. If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Did you hear him earlier in John chapter 14 and verse 23 say, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Go with me quickly to John chapter 15. Let's make sure that in our minds this morning, it's not that, well, okay, peace will be found by being in heaven eventually with God. That's what it means to be at home with God. But for now, it doesn't matter what I do or how I try. I'll never be at peace. Listen, that's not what Jesus is talking about. He's talking about right here and right now. Being at home, as it were, with God. The way that a branch is at home with a vine. John chapter 15 and verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. Here is the home you were created to enjoy. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he's thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. No peace without abiding in Jesus. Peace that this world offers, peace that looks shiny, peace that looks new, peace that will last perhaps for a moment. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you that my joy may be in you. Listen to Jesus. He's not seeking to rob you of joy. He's seeking to give you fullness of joy. His peace. You look a page over in John 17 and verse 25 as he prays, O righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. Well, where does that path lead as we close this morning? Anytime you're going to embark on a path, you'd like to know where it leads, right? Look up just one verse before that, in verse 24. Father, he prays, I desire that they also whom you have given me may be with me where I am. Do you see that? Jesus is seeking to lead you to where he is, to see his glory that the Father had given him out of love before the foundation of the world. That's why Jesus began this entire scene with, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. That's where this path leads. It's a path that's distinct from this world. It's a path that demands I follow his lead. It's a path that's going to lead me to be at home with God. And Jesus did so much in 3 years that he was able to say, you know the way to where I'm going. I'm thankful that Thomas was there to ask for some clarification. Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? To which Jesus responded, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You missed out on Forrest Finn's treasure. But this world continues to make promises that tries to get our attention. In fact, just 2 days ago, our own local Louisville News reported that a Michigan jewelry store that has been forced to close by the pandemic is going out with a bang. The owners of J&M Jewelers say they've buried roughly $1 million in jewelry in a statewide treasure hunt. Engagement rings, precious coins, gold, and silver have been buried from Detroit all the way to the Upper Peninsula and are up for grabs. The hunt starts August 1st, so you don't have to leave right now. And you can get a ticket to participate in the hunt for just $49. But understand that if you found that treasure, and you found Forrest's treasure, and you found all of the treasure in all of the world, but you missed out on this piece and the home that Jesus has prepared for his followers, you will have wasted your life and you will have missed it all. Because 2,000 years ago, the one who loved you enough to give his life for you said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I wonder if you enjoy that today. And if not, could we talk about that? Could we resolve that? Could we show you whatever else you need to understand about this Jesus who prayed for you, died for you, rose on a first day of the week just like this for you. Maybe you're ready to respond to him for the first time. Water is available. A change of clothes is available. Everything is necessary to give your life to Jesus right here and right now. Maybe you did that a while ago. But you know that this piece is missing from your life. Could we help? Could we be of service? There's just a step between you and that piece. And if we can be of any help along the way, would you let us know how by coming to the front while we stand and sing together?